And then I saw a vision. Now, I'm not here to hurt anyone's feelings. So please, if you've got a friend that's African-American, or if you're here and you're African-American, please don't get offended. What the Lord was showing me, we need to see so we can pray. He's been trying for a couple of days to get this message through to me, but it was like numb brain. So in the worship, he just showed it to me in a vision. And what I saw was a black man, about 6 years of age. He had a guitar on himself. Suddenly, he stopped playing the guitar. He looked in this direction at someone who said something to him. What he said was not unkind. But this man had so much bitterness in his heart from the days gone by that he was turning even the sweet into bitterness. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, this has to come to an end because I want peace for these people. Now, when he said that, I remember sitting and talking to a couple of black friends of mine. And I asked them, what is it like to be black, part of a black family? How do they talk? What do you hear as you're growing up? And this is what I was told. I'm not saying this is every black family, but this, according to this vision, is pretty normal. This is what I was told. If you grow up in a black family, the parents and the grandparents are often still so hurt over the wrong that's been done that as much as they want to let it go, they don't know how to let it go. Even the Christians. And so every time that it looks like a white person is looking at them funny or saying something they don't understand, they get offended. And the next place they go is to the children, to protect the children and warn the children. I said, and this happens in the church, the Christian community too. And they said, not only at home, but at church. The pastors are constantly warning you about the white people. And I said, that's so hard. That's so hard. Because there are those of us who love your race. God has done it. We didn't do it. God has done it. I was raised by my mother that if you said one thing unkind about any race, if she caught you a second time, you got the soap in the mouth. She would not tolerate it. And her favorite race was the black race. She loved the little children. And so I didn't grow up with racism in my heart. Now, because of what I'm called to do, I understand why. But God has a lot of racism to undo in the white community, in the black community, in areas where Asians have been mistreated. You know, every race outside of the white race has suffered. They've endured the all supreme white race. I know that, I understand that. We can be so arrogant without even knowing that we've done that. It's not anything we mean to be or to do. I had a black friend who was a pastor. I treated that man like a brother and his wife like a sister. We'd have a GOE, they'd be in the GOE. She'd pull me down and kiss me on the lips. Not an unrighteous kiss. But the way that the black kiss each other. That meant everything to me because I knew what it was saying. And they would tell you, they would tell me, you know, our family kind of sees you more like us than them. I felt that was a great compliment. But that's not always the way it is. And it's partially the fault of the white, and it's partially the fault of the black. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, bitterness in your heart, you're going to see things that don't exist. I don't care what color you are. But unfortunately, there is this issue. We're not living in Africa as white people with the African race up here. It's just the opposite, right? So though, although we don't necessarily understand, we have to accept things that have happened that have caused a misconstruing. I can remember one person who had a business, she was a therapist for emotional therapy. And she said to me, you know, one of the things that we do is we try to teach people that if there's a family member that seems to be mistreating you, sometimes it's not coming out of hate or anger or anything like that, but it's coming through damaged receptacles. It's like picking up the telephone and you're trying to hear someone that called you and you have all the static. This is what she told me. And she said, this is what emotional injury will cause, so that you're trying to communicate, but it's just not happening. Do you understand? So part of the situation of making things right is that if you're not white, just know that there are those that really don't want to continue damaging the love receptacles. And don't judge every book by the cover. And the same thing if you're white. Because I'm telling you, other races are beautiful. They're not only beautiful in their appearance, but there are areas in these races that are far above the Caucasian. There are character issues that are absolutely awesome. I have my little secretary, Ely, I call her Ely. She has one of the most beautiful personalities I have ever met. She's from Korea. She's beautiful outside, and she's beautiful inside. She really is. If she loves you, she can't do enough for you. And I'm not just saying me. Anyone she loves, she cannot do enough for you. And I asked the Lord, I said, is this okay? I mean, this isn't the way Caucasians react, interact. And I don't want to hurt her. And he gave me a vision and told me, she loves to help. I put that in her when I gave her birth. And then, you know, he kind of changed his tone to one reflecting joy. And he said, you'll find that among the Asian people a lot. That is a character plus. The only thing is, you don't want to take advantage of it. So we all have, in every race, we have our issues. None of us like to be disliked, right? I have to admit, I don't like to be disliked. I said to the Lord when he called me to be a prophet, I said, Lord, I've read enough of the Bible now to know people don't like prophets. I don't want to be that. He said, you were created for that. And I said, well, what else can we give me? I really didn't like the idea of being disliked. He said, how about if I give you the grace to walk through what you have to endure to do what I've called you to do? Oh, we can try it. So just know that that is one characteristic that is in every race. People don't like to be disliked. They want you to love them, to understand them, even if you don't understand them, to accept them, even if you don't know how to accept them, in the areas you don't understand. And if you do it long enough, they eventually come to rest and begin to accept you and trust your love. Eventually. Now, some people, it can be 30, 40 years and they're still fighting. But that's life, right? I think Jesus is the most magnetic person I've ever met. If he's magnetic and you've never seen him, never experienced the impartations that he gives. Now, not all people experience that, but I've got a call to bring Jesus to his church. He wants you to understand him. Isn't that what we just talked about? See? Voila! Even Jesus wants you to understand him. And so he wants people like me to come, be touched by him, be changed by him, be talked to by him, to be taught by him. When he comes and he teaches me, which he does often, he always does it out of the Bible. I really like that. But so often, listen to me, so often, when he teaches me about a passage, it isn't what the theologians say. He teaches me what the Holy Spirit meant when he put it in the pen of the writer. And it's so much more beautiful. It enlarges you. It helps you to understand the beauty of Christ. Now, I just want to say one more thing about this race thing, because we really are going to pray about it, because we've got a problem brewing, right? I was ministering at my friend, Pastor Lenny's church. This pastor is black. His church is entirely black. I was so touched that he would even think about inviting me. But he did. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking out over the congregation. And the Lord is sitting there in one of the seats on the pew. And he kept changing. He went from Jewish to Caucasian to Hispanic to Black to Asian. I mean, Arab, all night, all the time he was sitting there before I was led up to pray. I mean, to see how nervous it makes me before I was led up to preach. And I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Am I doing something wrong? He said, no. But I want you to see my face in them. Always. Every race. If you look at their face, regardless of the color, regardless of the features, I'm there. Whether they're saved or not, I want you to see my face in them. Now, how can you dislike a race when what you see in them is the face of Christ? And that goes for me too, by the way. When you look at me, you have to see Jesus. Say, oh, of course, yes. I know I don't look anything like him, and he's really a very handsome and beautiful man. But because he said, you have to see him in my face. So he comes to me. Let me see this passage. Last night I'm telling Ricky we need to speak out of Revelation 18. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, this is John 1:12. He gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe and adhere to, trust in and rely on him. Then he says in verse 16, for out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share. We were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. To whom does he give this great treasure? But to as many as received him. See, you thought that the abundance is what you're walking in today. But it wasn't, and it isn't. I can remember sitting in my prayer closet saying, Lord, is this all there is? Is this really what the Christian life is supposed to be? And I was thinking about all the hurt particular members of my family was going through. Satan was trying to crush and devastate. And I thought I was going to break under it. So this is how I'm talking to him. I wasn't being ornery. I wasn't being sarcastic. I was bringing, like, hopeful but sad and maybe a little fearful that what I might be hoping for was too much. Have you ever felt that? And, you know, I talk to the Lord with respect always, but sometimes my heart is hurting so bad. I just have to give him a little side helping of how it feels. Always, all the time telling him, I'm not complaining, just explaining. Because I've learned, those that walk the closest to me will tell you, I don't sit around and complain about the Lord or about my circumstances to the Lord. I know everything I go through, He's called me to walk through, to expand me in Himself. And if that's true, then even the tough of the very toughest things have a purpose to make you greater, bigger, pure, more glorious in Him. So this is how I'm talking to Him. When suddenly He's there. And He was fat with truth. He was 500 pounds fat. Now, I've had most holy pastors come up to me and say, what you said about the Lord was sacrilegious. And I said, I always say to them, I understand how you feel. Just take it to Him. He'll explain. He's 500 pounds fat. And I'm sitting there like a little kid laughing. And I said to Him, Lord, you're so fat. You're fat. How do you get fat in heaven? And He chuckles. Then He reveals to me what He is fat with. And it's not hamburgers. It's truth. 500 pounds fat with truth. At that moment, He looked so glorious. At that moment, He let me experience what it feels like to be 500 pounds fat with truth. You cannot imagine. My whole being was filled with scripture. I mean, from the top of my head to my toes, I was filled with scripture. Scripture was ever moving through my spirit and through my soul, even through my flesh. I was 500 pounds fat with truth. And what a place to be. You know, all the love scriptures were flowing through me. So I was loving everybody. All the scriptures on truth were flowing through me. I was so filled with truth, I didn't know what to do with it. And it was living. It had a heartbeat. It was living truth. You know, the old holiness movement, they made one mistake. They loved truth, but it was all preachy truth. They didn't love the transformative truth. They didn't know how to see it as that which transforms you into the image of Christ. So they knew the black and white of it, and they loved to point their fingers in each other's face over it. But that's not how Jesus is. You may think he is, but he's not. Even if you are in momentary, terrible sin, he still loves you with an everlasting love. And he desires you. His want for you to be holy is so you can be healed, so you can be whole, so you can have constant communion with him. It isn't a labor to make yourself holy. It hurts sometimes. But love pulls you through when you know why he's convicting you. I think the hardest part is when the body is convicting you and he has not yet done that. Then you feel criticized, misunderstood, right? Finally, when you get fed up with it, you go into him, you stomp your feet, and you say, will you please tell me I'm really not like what they say? And then he'll come to you, give you a great big hug, and say, you are. But I love you anyway. And you know, I think you guys can probably say this yourself. Usually if we've got these great big boo-boos, other people can see it before we do. And sometimes they try to be so, what is the word I want? Tactful in the way they say it, or very loving, almost like butter, which is repulsive. You're just buttering me up to let me have it. I'd much rather someone just sit down and say, we need to talk. And so after you go through that, you're just sure they're all wrong. And now you don't even want to look to see if they are because you're afraid, right? When he comes and he convicts, there's so much love. And in his presence, you want to get rid of that boo-boo, right? So he says, for out of this fullness, you all receive, you all have a share in the fullness of him, in the spiritual blessings of him, in the favor upon favor of the Father. In this fullness, he doesn't say that it will be when you are finally like me, because most will never make it there in this life. But he still wants to bless us. He still wants to give us the gumption and the grace and the hope and the faith to go through the transforming process. He wants to do that because he knows when you get to a certain place, you're going to begin to see the wisdom. And instead of fighting it, you're going to be leading. Praying, pleading, fasting, begging God, please deal with this thing in me. Please free me from this beast in me. You just feel like you'd rather not eat another meal your whole life than to stand before him in this offense even one more time. When you finally get there, he can take it out like that. And so then you start working on the next thing. And the next thing. I'm trying to tell a family member about this many years ago. I said, if you would just, because the Lord had given me a vision that her biggest problem was guilt and shame. And I saw her before the throne, I mean, just in agony. It hurt so bad. It hurt so bad I couldn't bear it. So I'm trying to help her focus on some things and let Jesus remove these things and heal what needed to be healed. And she said, you just think you're so good. No, actually I don't. But I want you to be happy. And the Lord wants you as a friend. He's your Lord. He's your God. Wouldn't you like to walk with him? Hear the sweetness of his voice? Even see his face and enjoy his presence? Well, of course, anyone would, she said. And I said, well, in all of us, there are things that need to go so that he can fill those areas of us with himself. And so I tried again to talk to her. She cried, but she embraced. And that's the way the Christian life is. The Bible says that disciplines and correction is a way of life for us. So even if you've never liked either one, you need to decide you love it. Because it's love that does it. It isn't an angry parent. It is love that is wanting to remove from you that which keeps you separated from him. It may seem hard to let him transform you, but I'm telling you, as one who has gone through 40 years of transformation, you do get used to it after a while. You even begin to enjoy it because of the reward on the other side, and sometimes in the middle and on the other side. So you have the grace to get through it all. What the church is primarily being taught, may I say this? What the church is primarily being taught is that if anything bad happens, it's the devil. Rebuke him. And if you go to a leader, they'll say, are you rebuking the devil? They have to do that, you know, to make the impression. While all the time, the word tells us that God makes the smith to blow upon the coals, to make for himself an instrument. So if we're rebuking the devil, when we should be letting the smith blow the coals of fire to make us into his image, then we're not submitting, are we? And if we're not submitting, neither will we change. And if we do not change, we cannot have the intimacy we're craving. Not because he doesn't want us. Keep that in your mind. It isn't because he doesn't want us. It is because we cannot bear that much of God. if we are so filled with that much of ourselves. You know, the longer Paul was saved and the more he came to know Christ, he went from thinking he was the greatest apostle ever lived to thinking he was the worst sinner. And that really is the downward spiral. You have to come in touch with who you are inside. And the core of who you are is a sinful nature. Only God can tame that ugly thing. And then remove it. But you have to cooperate. Please say, cooperate. I want you to write it down. I want you to think about it. Don't get mad when something isn't going the way you think it should. Don't. When you see yourself getting frustrated, stop. And remember, the Lord is in it all, and through it all, He's recreating you into His, what? So for those of us who have a tendency to get irritable, moody, judgmental, critical, angry, bitter, you're running as hard and fast as you can the opposite direction. Your only hope is to submit. Now, when he started really dealing with me on that issue, I said, but I have been submitting. I mean, you told me I had to do that. So when you send me into a situation and it's hurting and I know I've got to get through it, I submit and stay. I don't run anymore. He said, you try to submit. But you need to give your heart to me in that place and literally find joy in your trial. Joy. Say joy.
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 In your trial. I can remember a time when a pastor got really angry with me. So it just so happened that I was preaching in his best friend's church for the next week. So he decided to call the pastor and let him know all about me. I know none of this. So I end up at the pastor's house. We're sitting we're having a nice conversation when suddenly the pastor has to let me know everything I have wrong. And finally I said to him, what happened to you? You've never talked to me like this before. Well, I know what you did to our mutual friend. I said, you do? What did I do? And he began to tell me. I said, who told you that? He did, of course. And I said, huh. I don't think so. I think that when I was in their home, I was so sick, I couldn't eat, I couldn't talk. I just laid in bed trying to get better, while his wife took care of me. I didn't have the energy to tear into someone, like you're saying. He would never lie to me. And I mean, he is just ripping, ripping, ripping. When an angel shows up right beside me, and this pastor's mouth goes, and it stays like that for a few minutes. And I kept calling him by name, trying to get his attention. I don't know that the angel's there. finally, he shakes himself out of it. And I said, what happened to you? And he said, you don't know? And I said, no. What happened? Are you all right? He said, an angel just appeared standing beside you. And I said, oh, what did he say? I mean, what if he's coming to tell this pastor, you're absolutely right. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves, right? He told me to stop talking to you like that. He said to me that our mutual friend was utterly wrong about what he thought he heard. That those words were neither my heart nor did they come out of my mouth. And lest you sin against God, don't ever talk to her like that again. She loves you. She will forgive you. But the Father called me to his throne and he said, go now and deliver this message because he is tearing her apart. And I said, I'm sorry that happened. And he said, no, I needed that because I really believed our friend. I don't know why he said what he said about you, but I was stupid enough to believe it. And this angel told me the truth about your heart. He said, I knew that 2 weeks ago. How did I lose it? So sometimes we go through things that the devil has set in order for it to happen to us. But God wants us to win that battle. He wants us to return to righteousness, return to love, return to forgiveness, come out of bitterness. Don't let the anger destroy our hearts. When people are trying to diminish us, we can't let their words determine who we are. So he took me to the hotel. I go to my room and I said, Lord, I'm going to sit in this room and I'm going to praise you until praise is flowing out of my heart like a river. And I'm going to praise you for what he said, as well as for what the angel said. When I'm done praising, I think I won't hurt anymore. And so I did. It took about an hour and a half of solid praise. And suddenly, the spirit of laughter came upon me, and all that pain was gone. The pastor got a hold of me and he said, I just really need to know you're all right. What I did to you was so wrong. I said, I'm not only all right, I'm great. And I want you to forgive yourself. Just let it go. We'll go back to before it ever happened. And we had a great time together. But what did God do in me? He did in me whatever I would allow him to. And what I allowed him to do was to teach me what joy can do in the midst of trials. Instead of judging a person's heart, love them, forgive them, trust God in the situation, and choose joy in the midst of our fiery furnace. Am I telling you the truth? Yes. Now, why is that beneficial? Because as long as we are responding in the fruits of the flesh, we are not growing in Christ. If you really want union, you don't want to respond in the fruits of the flesh any more than you can possibly avoid it. And if you do respond, come back to the fruits of the Spirit as quickly as possible. Why? Because you want to be like Jesus, so that he can be in you, consuming you, owning the whole of you, and you can be in him, consumed by him. And in all of that, you no longer see you the way the world, the church, the family tells you that you should see yourself. But you begin to see yourself through the eyes of your Lord. Very necessary if you want Jesus. I'm trying to help you know how to get closer to the Lord. I'm trying to help you know what it takes to walk in high authority. The more you have a temper, the more or less control you have of your anger, the less authority he'll give you. If you're judging people, criticizing people, saying cruel things about people, you may be right and you may not be. You may be one of those people that just misunderstand things. But you'll never grow in Christ enough to know. And that's where you want to go. Jesus is the most honorable being in the world. He's honorable. He's noble. He's not proud. He is not haughty. He won't even make you always agree with him, because he's not controlling. Truth has a way of changing the heart that wants to be taught. And if you don't want to be taught, he's not going to bother teaching you. Why do you get so much revelation and I don't? Well, because I'm willing to be corrected. That's all I can say. Why can I say that? Because the Lord told me that. He said, as long as you continue in this way, I will reveal to you the secrets of heaven. When you quit being willing to be corrected, the revelation will stop. So this is very important. Why is it important? Is it because he's being a bad dad? No. He could try to give you the revelation you say you want, and you won't understand it. It's not going to be able to settle in your heart if you don't like his ways. The only way to know him is to love who he is. Even all those things you don't understand. There's a reason his word says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts, higher than your thoughts. He doesn't mean, just joking. Of course our ways are the same. You're a Christian, right? Our thoughts are identical. You're a Christian, right? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying you're not like me. You don't think like me. You don't know my ways. I have to teach you. And I have to little by little give you a love for it. And I have to give you grace to bear my ways. Does that mean you're bad and he's great? Well, He is great. And we do need to be changed. But I don't think he sees us as bad unless we love evil. But when we're Christians really wanting to change, wanting to be changed, he just loves us. And sometimes when we make those stupid mistakes, he just chuckles, just like you would over your three-year-old. Now, Mommy told you not to do that. Come here, come here. Daddy told you, come here. Let me get you cleaned up before your mother sees you. It isn't the way he is. He might say, let me get that cleaned up before the father sees you. But you know, there's just not a mean bone in his body. He loves you. He adores you. He loves every minute he can have with you, unless you do nothing but sit and complain. If that's what you do, I'm telling you the truth. He will get up and leave. Until you're done stewing in your stew. Then he'll say, now come here. Sit right here, because I'm going to talk to you. Pulls you real tight. I'm going to talk to you. It's love, love, love. Truth, truth, truth. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. But the most important thing is submission to that wisdom. Submission in affliction. Quit complaining about the affliction. Submit to it. Learn to rejoice in it. Even if you can't rejoice, thank him for the grace to endure. And Lord, draw near. Draw near. My mother was going through a very hard time. Man, she was in so much pain. She was in enough pain that within the next 24 hours, she was in critical care. And she calls me and she says, I can't bear this pain. I don't want to live any longer. I'm really hurting, honey. And I know from my mom to say that, she's hurting. What do I do? How do I endure? I don't want to displease the Lord, but I'm hurting so bad. And I said, Mom, this may sound crazy to you, but I want you to do it and God will honor it. He just told me. It's going to be so simple. It's going to be so simple that you're going to think to yourself, this can't possibly work. But don't let that thought take rest in your mind. She said, what should I do? Are you hearing me? What should I do? I said, I want you to reach out. Hold your hand out and say, Jesus, please take my hand. Because I don't have the strength in myself to endure this pain, even another hour. And she did it. And you know what he did? He physically took her hand. And as he held her hand, grace began to enter into her body through her arm. And it kept entering in until the pain was down a little bit and the endurance was up a lot. She did end up in the critical care place in the hospital, but it was because she really was dying. Blood pressure way down. All of her stats were way down. But she endured. She had the grace to endure. And he held her hand. You never know what he's going to do in response to your simple act of saying, come, help me. I want to please you. Help me. Knowing, and I'll close with this. Are you bored yet?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, good. Well, maybe we should take a Pauline break and go for 13 hours. So, his goal from the day you're born again, his goal for you is to have union with him from day one. If it doesn't happen in this lifetime, it's your fault. It's not because he doesn't want it. It's because you love the world too much. You loved yourself too much. You loved your own will too much. And can I say one more thing? You might want to go ahead and take a permanent break after this. You loved your self-righteousness too much. You're not willing to be corrected, not by him and not by man. If someone says you did so-and-so, I did not. But you did. And someone got hurt by it. No, I didn't. And you know, in your heart, you did. But you're not going to be corrected. I'm telling you the truth. The things I just mentioned are the things that will keep you out of union. You have to be willing to die. Tell me, what do you think a tree goes through when an axe is being taken to the root? Do you think it feels it? It does. And it hurts, right? But sometimes God has to take the axe to the root of us. Because what he's really after is the sin nature that was in you the day you were born. When he gets you to a place of enough purity, a place of enough discipline. It doesn't matter what you go through to get there, does it? Does it? I know some of you are going, I don't think so. The Lord. Maybe it does. It doesn't matter, because he's worth it all. So if in you, that tree has to be cut to the root, he's worth it. And every time I think about being really stupid and complaining, not another trial, I remember I told him he could go to the root if he needed to. I'm not going to complain. And there's such freedom. You're not going to get well faster by complaining. But while in your trial, there is such freedom when you don't think you have to moan and groan and cry because you're hurting. I'm telling you, it's freedom. It's, say it.
Freedom.
I see some of these faces out there going, you don't know. I don't know. I've had one or two trials. I probably haven't suffered the way you have, but I've had one or two trials. And you're right, none of us know, because we all take our trials differently. But there is one person who knows. He knows the height and the breadth of you. He knows the width of you. He knows the depth of you. And he knows what it's going to take to get to that thing that keeps you from him. You don't even know, but he does. But if you don't let him take you through whatever you have to go through to get rid of that, you'll never know. And you will also never know union. Now, I just want to take a few minutes talking about union, because I know you've never heard about it. I do love to talk about it. I love to talk about it every day. Why? Tell me what person is in love that doesn't like to talk about their lover, their girlfriend or their boyfriend. That's all you hear, right? I love to talk about it. My problem is most people don't really want to hear it. No, I'm telling you, you would not believe how many people cut me off. Please tell me about the things of God. I start and they immediately start talking, and we never do get back to that. And I think, why do people do that? Why don't they want to hear it? I asked one friend, and she said, because you have so many experiences, and I want every one of them. And I said, then let me show you how to go get it. I'll try. Okay. He was fat with truth. I was enabled to experience truth, living truth from head to toe. Fatness of truth from head to toe. There was no more sense of the sinful nature. It didn't exist. All I knew was God. All I knew is truth, and it wasn't like you memorize a bunch of scripture. It's not a mental thing. It becomes actually a physical thing. Are you with me? Yes. Because when he walks inside you, there is no more you. You still have your personality. I mean, he gave that to you. It's in your DNA. He's not going to try to take it away. But what he wants to do is mesh it with his. What is his personality? The fruits of the Spirit. That's why it's called the fruits of the Spirit. After I experience this truth, this fatness of truth, that began to recede, and he began to fill me with divine love. And that's all I knew, was divine love. It's nothing like human love, not even close. It is so wonderful. I mean, it is like, I really never really know how to explain it. But it's, you know, it's like the incarnation of the Son of God. He was love. He didn't have love. He was and is love. And this love is a love that always forgives if he's never asked to forgive. He always wants the best for the object of his affection. He will endure great suffering to take you through the lessons you have to go through to learn love. And don't think it isn't suffering to him. It is. Plus, your angel also suffers. They not only suffer watching you, but they experience you. And they pray for you. He experiences you, and he prays for you while you're doing everything wrong. I'm not saying you have to do it right at this point. We're at the beginning, right? But he will keep taking you round the mountain, not out of discipline, but out of love. Remember, he's trying to destroy what is keeping the two of you apart. So don't go running into your prayer closet and say, "All right, God, are you mad at me again?" Because he's not mad at you, even if you did it really wrong. He sees what you don't see. He feels what you don't feel. He knows what you don't know. Some of the things that I'm speaking to you tonight, I'm seeing in visions. Other things I'm being told by the Urim and Thummim. What I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you from the heart of Christ. Because he wants union with you. So, after the love began to recede, then he began to fill me with divine joy. And I'm telling you, it was effervescent. It really was. I told him, I said, "Being filled with your joy like this, I feel like I'm a helium balloon that can't touch the ground." Now I know what the Bible means when it said you look forward to the cross with joy. The joy began to recede. You know, when you're filled with joy like that, you can never see that anything is ever going to go wrong. Whatever happens, you know you have the faith and the grace to endure. And that's it. That's all you worry about. Don't really worry, but that's all you know. Okay, love, joy, peace. Oh, boy. When the joy began to recede, and the peace began to fill me, divine peace. It was like heaven on earth. It was like the worst possible things could happen. And it's okay. Everything is cool. Not just like, we'll get through this too. No. It's peace, divine peace. How many of you have been suddenly baptized by that peace that passes all understanding? And right behind that comes a terrible storm. And I'm sure you think a thousand things, but what he was trying to say to you is, we'll do it together. It's all going to be okay. I've given you my peace. Now, of course, through the terrible storm, because you haven't been trained yet, you're going to lose that peace. But when you're in union, you don't lose the peace. You may be getting, you know, the beating of your life by the government, and all you feel is love, joy, peace. Gentleness, goodness, all of his character traits are living in you, and you are now a new creation. You have become one with the Lord. He has become one with you. In fact, I told him in one visitation over this issue, I said, I feel like I'm not only filled with the Godhead, I feel like the Godhead is all around me. I feel like no Christian could ever, ever experience this side of heaven. He said, you can. And you will. If you want it, and you don't quit going after it. I'll end with this. Job did it all wrong, didn't he? I mean, he was hurting like the dickens, and he did it all wrong. He said all the wrong things. Everything wrong that could come out of the human heart came out of his. The Lord was so delighted with his reaction. He said, stand up like a man. I said, Lord, you really took him through some heavy trials. And he said, I know, but no one has ever walked in union with me like he did when it was over. How much does it mean to you? How much are you willing to die to your pride, your ego, your self-will, your self-righteousness? Your rights? I don't have to go through that. It's my right not to have to go through it. And the Lord says, oh, you want to talk about this some more? Take this home and keep it on the front of your Bible. I was going through a terrible, terrible time. At this particular time, everything that could go wrong was going wrong because he was molding and shaping. And Jesus came and got me and took me to the top of a mountain. And he said, do you know why I brought you here? I said, no. He said, I brought you here to deal with your will and your rights. And he just stood there and looked at me. And if the Lord ever looks at you like this, you go. You're like that little puppy whose tail was wagging. Finally, it quits wagging. His head goes down because he just knows he's in trouble. I did it all. He said, Nita, your will and your rights. May I have that? I said, Lord, if you brought me all the way to the top of this mountain to deal with that, it must be very important. So I started looking around for rocks. Rocks that would like fit, you know, like a lava rock that would like fit in your hand. I finally found two, one for my will, one for my rights. I walked over, I tried very hard to look at him in the face, and I said, okay, I've got two rocks, one is for my will, the other is for my rights, and I put them on this altar, Lord. Have I pleased you? And immediately, what came down from heaven was a blast of fire. Consume the will, consume the rights. He said, you've pleased me. Now you're going to go through the experience of it. I'm glad you guys can laugh. You wouldn't believe how many rights we have. Whether someone, you know, cuts in front of you on the lane. Don't they know I'm in a hurry? Your rights. To sometimes it's really huge. I mean, it's so huge, that right consumes every part of you. And you have to give it up. I can't tell you how many times when he's required something of me like that, that he will say to me, for me, will you do this? How do you say no? How do you say no? Well, you don't. I mean, you might, but you will regret that the rest of your life. Will you for me? It's like a little kid saying, can I have this Butterfinger for me? And they look so sweet. How do you say no? But with the Lord, it's far more serious. The love is far greater. The maturity is far higher. The nobility, the holiness, everything about him is so much more. Plus, he's your Lord and your God. How do you say no? Well, you don't. So, he asks for it, you give it to him, and then you have to go through the experience of having that thing ripped out of your heart. It's not fun. It hurts. Can you say it hurts? But that's what grace is for. That's what mercy is for. To help you in your time of need. Amen. Can you say that again?
Amen.
Are you still smiling?
Yeah.
I don't see those smiles. But I really felt like I was supposed to do this for you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure. I was trying to talk to someone about the things of God one time, about a year ago. And they said, just like what John just said, you really like to talk about that, don't you? I said, of course. I said, of course I do. And you should like it. Because this is all about you. Oh, and then the big smile comes across the face. I'm glad we can talk about it, because he's so wonderful. Yes, that you can share. The teachings on union with other people. That you can share. Share as much as you will. I think we're recording this, and so they're free to make duplications, if you like. Yeah, and the African Americans.